Arise, do not be afraid, have faith. This weekend, we know that last weekend, Jesus was inspiring his disciples to have faith when they were in the boat and the storm had arisen. And if you recall that he truly invited them not only to have faith, but to trust that things would be okay. And so this weekend, especially the gospel, invites us again into this mystery of faith that would not only call us to have faith, but to realize how faith impacts parts of our life. Now, anyone who has lived and knows a few things realizes that we always hear the saying, there are two guarantees in life, death and taxes. And today, I think there's a third one that I want to propose to you. And that is that Jesus calls us to faith and into a relationship that we can have life and have life in abundance. You know, as we ponder God's word, especially the first reading, we are reminded by the Book of Wisdom that right away it says God did not make death, but death had somehow come into humanity's nature, part of it because of sin. And then it also said that really God's design was that man or woman were to be imperishable and made because of his own image and likeness. But yet, out of envy of the devil, death entered the world. God always desires life for us. St. Margaret of Cortona said, in times of desolation or challenge, God conceals himself from us so that we can discover for ourselves what we are without him. And thus, faith is so essential not only to life, but to living life in a good way, and to again knowing that we can endure even the challenges and the harshness and suffering that somehow can be a part of our lives. And so we ponder God's word knowing that, even as St. Paul would say, that God desires that we would excel in good things, even in faith, so that the abundance of God will somehow overflow, transform us, and help people live. So the gospel story is, I read the long version, I'm sorry, but my scholars or the people that taught me would say that this is called kind of a Markan sandwich, which means kind of like two pieces of bread with peanut butter. You can't really have a sandwich with one piece of bread. And so the two really are connected with a purpose. That as Jesus is invited, you know, as he gets out of the boat, that already an outsider approaches him and says, Lord, I need you. I need a favor. And again, to recall, last week I told you, or I tried to express that in Mark's gospel, that dynamic of outsiders coming to Jesus, who sometimes have greater faith than the ones closest to him, which are his disciples. That today's gospel illustrates that point. So Jairus, an official, a synagogue leader, comes and approaches and says, Lord, come and lay hands on my daughter because she's ill. And Jesus goes without any kind of hesitation. And on the way, there's a crowd that comes with him, and then another woman who's been afflicted. And she is also an outsider, but probably thought for years, saying, if I could only see and get close to the master, maybe I can be healed, because doctors have tried and have been unsuccessful. But she touches the cloak of Jesus, and right away, this divine power and grace come into her, heal her, heals her, and then she knows that something has happened, and he is aware of it as well. And he then asks, you know, what's happened? Who's touched me? And the disciples, you know, remind him, saying, well, there's many people around here. It's a stupid question. How can we keep track of who touches you? But the woman, it says, even out of fear and trembling, out of humility, kind of comes forward and admits that she's maybe the guilty one who touched his cloak. And to realize he didn't chastise her, but to think of what he said. Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction. Her faith brought her to Christ. She received a gift, and then he affirmed the gift even more and sent her forth with life and abundance. And then we think of the gospel as it ends, that Jesus then goes to the other synagogue official's home where they say the daughter's already died, and Jesus says she is asleep, that he, along with just a few of his disciples, go in, and Jesus takes the child and raises her up, and she's brought to life. Both of these miracles in Mark's gospel also accent part of Jesus' message that began in chapter 1. When Jesus began his public ministry, he said, "Repent and believe in the gospel, that our lives might not only have meaning, but that we can be transformed by the ways, the words, and the acts of Jesus Christ." And thus, these miracles again try to help us know that through faith and through repentance, we receive not only forgiveness, but restoration of life. Both of these miracles also would remind us of Christ's awesome healing power, and they reiterate Christ's call that we're called to be holy people in a visible way and to have faith, along with hope and along with a desire for love. Maybe today as we pray to think about in our own lives, there have been maybe instances where we too have been humbled, vulnerable, experiencing struggle or suffering and that sense of helplessness. And to think of Jesus still inviting us, saying, have faith, have courage, because through God's mystery and life and love, you can be not only redeemed, but brought to life. It doesn't mean that we're going to be totally set free from suffering, but it means that Christ, because of his life, death, and resurrection, will be with us and help us find the path to life. As we come in prayer and celebrate the mysteries of the Eucharist, let us together also be mindful of Jesus saying to us, even in our moments of trial, that he says, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace, be cured, and share in life in abundance."